We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this webinar about preventing the summer slide with audiobooks. We're very excited to give you some great information and resources today. My name is Stephanie Waldman, and I'm the Professional Development Coordinator here at Tales to Go, who is the sponsor of this webinar. It's going to be presented by Mary Ann Scheuer, who I will introduce to you formally in just a moment. So as I mentioned earlier, this webinar is sponsored by Tales to Go. We stream audiobooks for grades pre-K through 12. We currently have over 6,800 audiobooks. They're instant, unlimited, and simultaneous. You'll find high interest titles from leading publishers. And it's used in leading school districts around the country, like Berkeley, where Mary Ann's from, as well as Heartland AEA in Iowa, LAUSD in California, Winston-Salem in North Carolina, and the DoDEA schools. Now, at the end of this webinar, we have some special offers for you. We do also offer classroom licenses, library licenses, as well as full building licenses. So make sure to stick around for that. So for the main event, I'd like to introduce Mary Ann Scheuer. She is the teacher librarian for the Berkeley USD schools. She's an audiobook advocate. She's a blogger. She is a book reviewer and so much more. I could go on and on. We're very excited to have her presenting today. And it's all you now. Take it away, Mary Ann.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. As you mentioned, I'm a teacher librarian in Berkeley Unified School District, and I've spent much of the last 3 years doing action research about the impact of audiobooks supporting students' engagement with reading. Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or to Tales to Go using Twitter. I use this tool extensively to keep me engaged and connected as a learner, especially during the summer months. As we get started, I'd love to hear a little bit about you. What is your current role? We're going to pull up a poll now. Please check the box that applies to you. School librarian, classroom teacher, a specialist, school administrator, parent, or other. If you click other, please specify in the chat what your role is. In the chat, I'd love to hear a little bit about why you came along to this webinar. Are you listening to the, if you are listening to this as an archive, please reach out to Tales to Go and to me on Twitter to say hi. Let's see what our poll says right now. Looks like we have a big chunk of folks who are classroom teachers or classroom specialists. We also have a good representation of school librarians. That's fantastic. I've loved seeing the broad reach both across the US and internationally, the folks who are joining this webinar. It's really exciting. I was telling someone that when you go to a conference, you often only have 30 to 60 people because it's so expensive to go to a conference. So I really appreciate the opportunity from EdWeb to be able to reach such a large and diverse audience. All righty, I'm going to go ahead and close this, X that down, and go on to the next slide. In today's webinar, I will examine the impact of the summer slide on children's reading and consider the way audiobooks can help address this problem. We will look at recent research on the impact of audiobooks, and I will also share my firsthand experiences. Participants will learn about ways they can use this information to create change in their local communities and spread the word to families. Okay, so who's excited about summer? Are you counting the days until school lets out? I know I am. In our teacher's bathroom, we have a sign posted with our countdown. Your kids are counting the days too. But there is a significant problem that comes along with our long summer break, and it's become known as the summer slide. As students step away from the classroom, many stop reading as regularly as they do during the school year. When they do this, they noticeably lose reading skills they had worked so hard to develop all year. For some children, summer vacation includes a variety of enriching camps, enriching activities like camps, libraries, and family trips, but many children do not have access to these stimulating activities or resources. This results in significant learning loss over the summer in both math and reading scores, which has been documented by numerous studies. A number of researchers have concluded that nearly all the difference in achievement between low-income students and their more advantaged classmates are due to the inequities in their experiences during the summer months. One of the literacy coaches I work with calls it an experience gap, not an achievement gap. What this graph illustrates so well is the cumulative effect of this loss, leading to persistent and significant achievement gap. Math and reading are both impacted by loss over the summer, and this data combines achievement in both areas. Why do some children lose ground during the summer? Access to books is one definite factor, as Richard Allington and others have persuasively written about. But motivational issues also come into play. Allington and McGill-Franzen wrote in an article adapted from Reading Rockets, when less skilled readers are given books that are too hard, all of their cognitive energy is devoted to trying to figure out unknown words with little understanding of or engagement with the book in their hand. So it is actually just isn't access to books, it's also access to accessible, readable books that creates a feeling of success. Most kids and parents know that reading over the summer is important. Look at this new report from Scholastic Kids and Family Reading Report. Perhaps some kids don't want to, but is motivation really the key? Or could it be a combination of motivation and access? Does just getting the book into the home solve the problem? Let's look into this process of reading development a little more fully to understand that this is about more than just access. Parents also know that reading aloud is an important part of the equation. But as the Pew study in Parenting in America reported, if kids are busy, their parents are even busier. About 3 in 10, 31% of parents say they always feel rushed, even to do things that they have to do. And an additional 53% report that they sometimes feel rushed. Reading aloud is important. And yet I know as a parent, it is often hard to find the time and the energy. Audiobooks play an important role in solving this. We see the impact of this in the data. More and more parents are reading aloud to young children and preschoolers, 62% in 2016, but this number drops dramatically for elementary school children to 38% for children ages 6 to 8 and 17% for ages 9 to 11. My question is, what is this impact on our students? During the school year, many teachers are reading aloud to students in grades 2 to 5. I know that it's an important part of the reading development process, but what happens during the summer? Think about that. For your typical 8-year-old, only 30% of them will have reading aloud at home. For your typical 9 or 10-year-old, only 17%. In order to understand the problem of students' loss of reading skills during the summer months, we need to consider key factors that lead to reading development. What should we do? What happens when we read a good book? In early elementary school, there is greater emphasis on decoding skills, but the importance of broader comprehension skills is crucial in these early years and plays an even more important role as students transition into late elementary and middle school. How does the work we do as teachers support reading development in their understanding of what they read? You'll see here that this is a slide that shows the simple view of reading based on Goff and Tunmer, that shows that decoding and understanding are both essential elements to reading comprehension. Listening comprehension plays a crucial role in developing students' ability to understand what they read. As Hogan, Adloff, and Alonzo reported, this ability to understand what you hear is an essential underpinning to building a mental model. Vocabulary recognition, background knowledge, and story structure familiarity are all part of this process. This is essential information for building comprehension. It also helps guide us as teachers for how we can help students who are struggling with this process. So Peggy asks an interesting question. Is the primary reason that parents aren't reading aloud to their kids at home due to lack of access to books? Kids can bring home books from the library during the school year. Kids can access books from the public library in the summer. But the question is it a time issue? Is it a motivation issue? Is it a recommendation issue? I think it's a multiple factors. And I would like to look at a multi-pronged suggestion to addressing this. Let's keep going and digging into reading development a little bit more. In order to understand the problem, we need to consider key factors that lead to reading development: volume, vocabulary, word knowledge, phonics, story structure, and background knowledge all contribute to how well a student understands what they read. The question becomes, if these are the elements that impact comprehension, how do we support the students developing and maintaining these? Moreover, how do we support that when we are not there during the summer months? Given this research about summer slide and a fuller understanding of the skills that go into reading development, how do we maintain and foster students' skills during the summer when school's out and access to books is limited? Public libraries definitely play a role, but as educators, we must see what needs are not being met. Audiobooks play an important role in children's reading development. Summer presents an excellent time for students to use audiobooks because they provide extra support and engagement. Children love listening to a good story well told. Students can understand stories at a much higher level than they can read with their eyes. Professional narrators bring alive a story. So let's look more deeply at how audiobooks actually impact the reading development. As we learned earlier, a huge portion of reading skills come from a student's ability to understand what they read. This understanding is driven by listening comprehension skills. Audiobooks allow children to focus on the key skills of understanding words and the overall story, and this helps them develop their deeper comprehension skills. This happens when children listen to audiobooks on their own, not just when they read and listen. I'd like to present research that WestEd conducted on the use of audiobooks and Tales to Go with our elementary students in Berkeley. In 2015, WestEd conducted a research study in Berkeley that examined the impact of audiobooks on second and third graders' literacy skills. Students listened to a selection of stories each week without reading books at the same time. They were just listening and enjoying the stories. The study was done as a rigorous randomized control trial. We wanted to evaluate the actual impact of regularly listening to audiobooks at home and at school. Berkeley is an economically and racially diverse urban district. The treatment and control groups were roughly equivalent as by male, female, special ed students, socioeconomic status, and English language learners. The study consisted of pre- and post-assessments of students' reading comprehension, vocabulary, and motivation to read. Students were asked to listen 3 times a week at school, each time for about 20 minutes, and twice a week at home, again for 20 minutes each time. Overall, the implementation of this study was very successful. My students are still talking about their experiences and how they enjoyed listening to audiobooks during this time. The results were clear and remarkable. Students who listened to audiobooks on a regular basis developed stronger reading skills, attaining 58% of their annual reading gain in just 10 weeks. In the study, the students who listened were 3 months ahead of the control group. How did they do this? Let's look more closely at the component parts of reading development that the study measured. I'm going to take a moment, pause, let you look at this, think about this, and see what some of the questions are. Yes, Jose, I can understand how quickly this is going. The archive will have the chat available, definitely. When I get excited about sharing my research, I know that I go too quickly, and so I'm going to try to slow down the pace right now. Students were not required. So Michelle asked about following along with the text during this time. I want to emphasize again, there was no text during this time. Students were only listening. During this study, for 20 minutes at a time, students were listening and they were not following along in the text. It was a listening only study. Alrighty, I'm gonna go forward to see some of the next. Alrighty. Students who listened to audiobooks in this study increased their reading comprehension skills 3 times more than their counterparts. Their vocabulary gains outpaced their control group counterparts by 7 times. Look at that impact. All of this made students want to read more. We see this in their increased reading motivation by 4 times relative to their control group. It's just remarkable. I'm pausing for a moment to look at some of the comments. Yes, kids that listened to the book showed improvements in reading comprehension compared to those who did not. That's exactly right, Karen. Let's dig on a little bit more. As a teacher and librarian, this study confirms exactly what I've seen with my own eyes. When students listen to audiobooks, they are more engaged. They understand stories better. They want to read more. This is because audiobooks help them develop their vocabulary, give them access to more complex texts, and help them create a fuller mental picture of stories. The power of this study is remarkable. It shows that listening to audiobooks provides essential support to the development of reading comprehension. Let's think back to that simple view of reading development as part decoding, part understanding. Listening to stories helps students develop those critical comprehension skills. Lois, yes, the findings are not surprising, Lois, but what's interesting is how it's difficult to show that to your education community. That's one of the reasons why I like this study so much, is it gives me fuel to take back to provide convincing evidence to the funders in our community. All right, it's survey time. Are these findings consistent with your understanding of the value of audiobooks? Please add some comments in the chat. I'd love to have more people contribute their reaction to the finding of this study. Ah, and we've also got a nice poll here. Thank you so much. Excellent. Look at that. So overwhelmingly, yes, this finding is consistent with your view as professional educators. What it also says to me is that for 22% of you, about 22%, they feel that this study will help them persuade their colleagues. Excellent. I'm going to close this poll for a second. There we go. Thank you guys so much. Oops. Xy. There we go. All right. The formal research is important, but I'd also like to share some of my personal experiences with audiobooks as a teacher and as a librarian. I've seen audiobooks bolster students' confidence and skills. They enjoy reading, and so they want to read more. This volume and this positive attitude is essential to their success. I do not differentiate reading and listening to a book. They're the same thing. One supports the other, because really, reading is a thinking skill, and audiobooks can provide access and support to the development of these thinking skills. Here are some of my students' stories that I'd like to share. All right, Jeremiah was 1 third grader. The beginning of this year, he struggled with decoding and fluency. His teacher and his family used audiobooks regularly through Tales to Go because it was accessible in their classroom and then at home on a tablet computer or smartphone. This increased Jeremiah's motivation and his confidence. By this point in the year, He's reading more confidently on his own and more engaged with his own reading. Rosa was another student of mine, and she is so hooked on Goosebumps that she's now taking the initiative to listen at home. You'll see here, this is a reading tub in their classroom that we have marked with compatible to Tales to Go. One of the things that I've found is that it's really helpful if students want to be able to test out listening and reading as a paired activity to have some of the books labeled in the classroom. Audiobooks build on a young reader's feeling of success. Here are some comments from a third grade class that I spoke to recently. One student said, they, meaning the audiobooks, they read the books really fluently, so it's easy to understand what they're saying. They're really expressing the story. They don't just talk. Another student said, sometimes you forget real quick about a story. When you have to read it, you have so much in your head. When you listen, it's easier. Another colleague added on, even if you aren't reading the book at the same time, you'll want to go grab the book later because you have a taste of it. Out of the mouths of babes. Another student told me, the sound effects help you envision what's going on. You get a picture in your head of the story. Chandrick was one of my students he was in third grade. He was struggling behind many of his classmates. So at the beginning of the year, we had him doing phonics work for 10 minutes. And then during the other portion of reading workshop, he was listening. He chose to listen and read because that's the way it worked better for his brain. He listened and read to Horrible Harry. The next day, he went and read the print book by its own, and he came out to the hall to me that day and said, Miss Shoyer, now I can read it faster all by myself. It built his confidence, created this view of himself as a reader. Here we see an example of paired listening, where a child is choosing to listen and read. Some of my students actively like this, while others prefer just to listen. I find that this is often a factor due to their personal learning style and preference. It's also a factor of the type of book they're choosing to read at that particular moment. If a student is choosing to read a book that is at their instructional level, meaning they can decode it at the pace that the narrator is reading it, then it can be a successful activity of listening and reading. We call that paired listening. But you need to remember that students can listen to much more complex texts than they can decode with their eyes. And in this situation, listening only to a story, maybe while building something with Legos or drawing or filling in a mandala with a coloring with colored pencils. In this case, listening alone helps you build those thinking skills for reading. Picture it as if you were in a classroom. Would you require all of the time when a teacher is doing a read aloud for the students to have the books in front of them? Or can you understand that there's really a great value of a teacher reading aloud the story and the students just building that story in their head? Listening to an audiobook is a very similar process. I want to share an example of a letter that one student wrote to her teacher after listening to a story. She loved it so much and related to the character's choices that she wanted others to read and listen right away. Here's what she wrote. Dear Ms. Martin, the book I've just finished reading is Ready Freddy Tooth Trouble. I think that other kids should read this book because they should be patient if they want something to happen. And you can read it too, Ms. Martin. And I think this is a good book because Freddy is a really funny kid. So you see, an audiobook helps build that sense of success, that sense of identity. I've also had teachers talk about how listening to an audiobook helps bring students into the reading conversations that are happening in a classroom. If a student is behind, is not able to read the same books that her peers are reading, she will feel left out of many of those conversations. If audiobooks give her access to that, she not only feels a part of the reading culture in the classroom, she takes part in the reading thinking conversations that are happening in the classroom. Let's hear from some teachers and students about the power of audiobooks, especially Tales to Go.
Tales to Go is incredibly effective. It helps students build their fluency. It keeps them motivated and excited about reading and listening to literature, not only for students who are having difficulty with reading, but it's also really beneficial for students who are getting ready to make the jump to a higher level.
In the context that he'll hear it in, he understands it because then he'll use it when he's talking to me. He was like, yeah, and as a matter of fact, and I'm like, as a matter of fact, like, where'd you get that from?
And then when it makes sense, you just see it in their faces and they light up and they say, oh yeah, I do know that word.
I've understood more complex words and the way they use them, words that normally I would know, but sometimes they use it in different contexts that I wouldn't know if I was reading, but listening to, I've understood it better.
So I just want to say thank you for some of you for who are sharing in the comments. The comments range from we read aloud to high schoolers and sixth graders, and they love it. This is essential. As an eighth grade English teacher, I used to play clips of audiobooks because I believe that when you listen to audiobooks, then when you read independently, you hear this narrator's professional voice in your head. Another person, Anne, talked about as a teacher librarian, the biggest thing she's trying to do in her building is create a culture of reading, and audiobooks help extend and provide an inclusive culture of reading. So let's change and look at the next steps. Let's talk about how we turn this into a plan. What can we as librarians, as teachers, do to help students engage with summer reading? An essential element of reading is giving students choice about what they read. Choice inspires readers, enables individuals to engage, to have agency. When audiobooks are available for a wide range of titles, students can explore widely. If schools or libraries can only purchase one or two titles, it limits choice and therefore impact. It often relegates audiobooks to just for those students who need extra support. One of the reasons why I highly encourage and embrace and promote Tales to Go, it has been successful in our district because it provides for a very wide range of choices. We can talk about it as an option for all students, much more so than we could have purchased on a title by title basis. I've seen some of the in the comments that teachers and librarians use other systems where they're purchasing audiobooks on a title by title basis. I'd like you to consider the value of purchasing it on a wide basis. As you start to formulate a plan, the next step is assessing your local needs. With your colleagues and community members, ask some of these questions. These are especially important in addressing equity issues during the summertime. How do children access audiobooks during the school year? Does this access meet the needs in your community? Do children have access over the summer? And what can you do to increase access and use, especially for your target students? One of the ways that I try to assess how a family might access audiobooks is I ask, how do you listen to music? Are you listening to music streaming through your phone? Are you listening to music on your computer, on a tablet? Because you'll find that many students have a way to listen to music, right? Especially those middle schoolers and high schoolers. So tap into those ways of accessing. I have found the spread of mobile phones to be incredible in our community across all of our socioeconomic groups. So that's a lot about my experience. I'd like to take a moment to ask about children's access to audiobooks in your community. What medium do they use? Do they use physical formats like CDs or digital formats like streaming audiobooks? Do they access them through school or public library, or do they purchase them? I'm going to take a moment and read the chat. Let's see. Alexa talks about choice with genre-driven choice. I think that's fantastic because it allows students to become comfortable with a wide range of genres, but ask them to seek out what interests them. Peggy asked about what types of books Tales to Go has. It has definitely traditional books that you would find in the library, definitely known authors. Let me just take a moment and show you one of the books that I have loved sharing with my students this year. It's called What Elephants Know. It was one of the books that we considered for our Mock Newbery this year, and it is written by Eric Dinnerstein, published by the Hyperion Disney Group, and it's a fantastic story of a young boy's journey to protect his community when developers are threatening it. It's set in Nepal, on the borderland between India and Nepal. I'm going to reach back and grab one of my other books. Hang on. Let's see if the microphone lets me reach. Should have brought it closer. Whoops. Hang on.
All righty.
Yes, children's choice books are definitely available on Tales to Go. Here is another book. Whoops, microphone on. Here is another book that I have loved sharing with students. It's called Booked by Kwame Alexander. If we have any Kwame Alexander fans in the audience, I'd love a shout out for Kwame Alexander. This is also available through Tales to Go. So Tales to Go definitely includes books that you would find in your library. Alrighty. Schools play an important access. Teachers and principals agree that schools play an important role in expanding access to books at home. Public libraries are trying to do a lot, serving many, many different needs. And I believe they do not provide adequate access for all students. Barriers to access include travel, fines, time for parents to get their children to the library. I would recommend assessing how your students' needs are truly being met and ask yourself, is there more that you can do to expand your community's access to books over the summer? I would encourage you to examine how the services that are available to your students and families are providing access to books and literacy experiences over the summer. Are they working to promote learning? Do families have access? The new report from the CUNY Center specifically advises educators to look for solutions that provide digital equity and access. As librarians and teachers, we must examine how digital access is changing in our communities. A recent survey shows that the majority of Hispanic and Latino families now own a smartphone, if not other digital devices, and are connecting to the internet regularly. But while many families are already finding ways to use technology to improve learning at home, many have expressed that there is a lot more they would like to learn about finding resources to support their children. This is taken from Aprendiendo Juntos, Learning Together. This council is a multi-sector group of researchers, practitioners, media producers, and policy experts who seek to identify new models and practical strategies to improve educational outcomes for Hispanic and Latino families through the wise deployment of digital technologies. One of the things that I find particularly important is that Tales to Go has worked for us as a in-school, during-the-classroom experience, and then to engage and connect with families for at-home listening and at-home learning. In Berkeley, we not only provide digital resources to families, we also acknowledge that there is a need to provide programs to help families learn how to access these resources. Here are two flyers we share to help spread the word. Notice how these emphasize high-interest series. All of these books are available through Tales to Go. I'm wondering, do you recognize any books here that your students would like to read? One of the keys for finding great audiobooks that support readers is it supports access to the books they already want to read. I'd like to share access to other resources to share. When I'm looking for audiobooks to recommend, here are some of the places I go to look for to access audiobooks, recommended audiobooks. For the Odyssey Award from the American Library Association, this highlights the best of audiobook productions for children. One of this year's audiobooks is on Tales to Go. It's called Dream On Amber. Snicker of Magic is another one of my absolute favorites, as is Echo. The Notable Children's Recording from ALA is also an excellent place to look at for recommendations. You might notice that Mama's Nightingale is a picture book recommended in Notable Recordings. This is on Tales to Go, as is Save Me a Seat, one of our students' current favorites. The Audies Award from the Audio Publishers Association is another place I go to for recommendations of audiobooks. Echo won last year for the middle grade. Island Treasures is one of my favorites by Alma Flor Ada. Reading Rockets has a list of favorite audiobooks. The Tales to Go blog is a great place to look at for audiobook recommendation. My own blog is a recommendation place. People have already mentioned in the chat, Sync Summer Listening Programs is an excellent resource. I get a little frustrated that it's so focused on teen listening and doesn't range broadly. One of the factors that I highly recommend, why I highly recommend Tales to Go, is because of the broad range of resources that it has, from your youngest preschoolers all the way through your teen readers.
Awesome, Marianne. Thank you so much. What a great presentation.
Thank you.
Can you all hear me? Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Well, all of Marianne's contact information is on this page, so feel free to give her a shout out, ask her any questions. And as I was looking through the chat, first of all, there were so many great conversations about using audiobooks, what programs they're using, what books to read, and how to access it. So I've gotten a few questions. So I'll be asking Marianne a few things to get her take on them. So let's start. One of the things earlier, which I actually got a couple times, is how do you encourage parents? You know, we talk about giving kids access, but a lot of times it just sits there. So what is something that you do as a librarian before the students go away for the summer? How do you encourage them and their parents?
We have open house happening in Berkeley in a week and a half. And so just before this webinar, I was updating our flyers. I included two examples a few slides ago. I believe that outreach to families is crucial. On the back side of this family, one of our literacy coaches was recommending putting the current article that I have up on my blog that explains to parents the impact of listening to audiobooks, how that can help their students. And so it's both helping persuade them that listening is crucial, but also helping them see how you access.
Exactly. Awesome. Thank you. And I had a question about the narrator. So some people were saying, oh, is it going to be boring if it's just, you know, a narrator speaking to a student and they're not seeing it, they're not seeing the pictures. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. So the narration on Tales to Go are professional narrators. They are trained actors who express and add interest, create voices for all of the different characters. The attention, how it holds a listener's attention, really varies by individual. I have seen that some children, that dramatic reading captures their attention much more so than reading in print, whereas other students, having the print book in front of them helps keep their focus because they're able to absorb it with their eyes and their ears. I think it's really a learning style.
Exactly. Awesome. One of the other questions, and I was watching through, and some other educators were answering this question as, you know, as you were still speaking, but how do you determine if the audiobook is too easy or too hard for a student? Kind of like you would do the five-finger test for a physical book. What's your way of determining that?
Yeah, so it's a question I've asked myself as well. And I think to some extent, I go back to student choice, and that if a book is too complicated for a student, it will be hard for them to keep listening to it. A complex audiobook lasts 5 hours. So actually what I'm concerned about more is what I would call popcorn reading, where you try a little of this and then you try a little of that and you try a little of that. And it's not sustained listening over the arc of a story. That's what I would watch for. One of the ways that I do that is I sometimes go and talk to the students, can I see your bookmarks? Where have you been bookmarking? How are you keeping your place so that you're coming back to a story?
Great. And another question is, how do we motivate and excite children to listen to audiobooks that might not be cool, that might be old, I know you've told me before that your kids still listen to the Boxcar Children and things like that. So how do you motivate them?
So a couple ways. One, playing short clips. Like in library time, you do book talks. Well, let the book speak for itself and play just a short dramatic part. Choose that part carefully so that you've got an exciting cliffhanger part that you're showing. Another way is letting kids talk to each other and promoting how it's not just the kids who need special help who are enjoying audiobooks, but it's all type of learners. So that social connection of audiobooks I find really helpful. And the third thing that I've done is I've gone out of our way to develop our print-based collection so that it has overlap with our audio collection. And this allows, again, that social nature of reading so that the students who enjoy reading with their eyes are able to share their reading experiences with the students who are able to read with their ears. And we've got a community of readers.
Great. That's perfect. Thank you. I had one other question. A lot of them were repeated. So, excuse me. The question from Susan earlier was, do you think that listening to the stories with headphones helps them with focus since they're not easily as distracted? Do you have any experience with headphones versus not headphones?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that headphones can definitely help students focus. I also think that some students, their focus is improved by having their print book, whereas other students, their focus is improved by having either a fidget in their hand or a mandala to cover color, or in the video, you notice that some of the students were coloring. They had crayons in their hands and were coloring. But the headphones can help. In our library, we actually got the durable headphones that go over the ears with a big with big pads to help block out the other sound. It depends. I would do it kind of trial by error.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I am just looking back through to see if there's any other questions that I had missed for you.
Stephanie, I see someone asking about access to this presentation so they could watch it with their administrator later. And one of the things that I'd like to say is that it will definitely be available through the EdWebNet community for access starting tomorrow. We also have a handout that's on the EdWeb community. I'd also recommend looking at the Tales to Go research to be able to show just those visual slides of the impact of the study, because administrators are particularly notice the research.
Yes, exactly. And to go along with that, thank you. On the slide, if you once you view again, so when you find this in the recordings in the archive, you can actually go to the slide that we have the research on and you can click on the link within the slide. So everything that you see on these slides is linkable. It's a live link, so you'll be able to click on it after the fact. And Lynn and other people from the EdWeb team are writing in the chat bar where you can find that. You can find our recording and then the chat log as well. There's been so many good conversations here.
Stephanie, I'd like to take a moment and address the range of readers that Tales to Go meets their needs.
Sure.
So I'm seeing that, let me see, Trisha from Georgia asks, will these ideas work for teens? And I actually think that audiobooks play an especially important role in teen listeners because stories, teens, oh boy, is anyone here, I'd love to notice in the comments, does anyone here notice that reading, choice-driven reading is reduced among our teenage population? I think that that's one of our significant struggles in our present-day education community. And audiobooks provide a not only high-interest listening, but also access during many of the different times a student can experience, whether it's our teens who are having long commutes on the bus and they pop in their earbuds, or teens who are exercising and focusing on their sports and they want to use audiobooks as a way to add their interest to their exercise routines. Tales to Go has a wide collection of both modern YA that your teens will recognize and be very interested in, as well as classics that your teachers will be having in the classroom. I know that one of my most favorite audiobooks ever is Maggie Stiefvater's, Oh, the one about the horse in the water. Stephanie, did you read that one about?
No, I don't think so. I can look though.
Yeah, Maggie Stiefvater. All of her books are available on Tales to Go. One of the things that I would caution, especially the librarians in the audience, to look at is when you're looking for an audiobook solution for your community, look at the publishers that that audiobook has access, that audiobook provider has access to. Tales to Go has access to recorded books and Scholastic audiobooks, along with many, many, many other publishers. It's this broad range of access to content that makes Tales to Go such a successful provider for us as a school community.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.